Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The MS IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. How's it going today, Scott?
Oh, it's another beautiful day out. You know, been walking around on the beach, taking pictures of the sunrise.
Very nice.
Rough life we lead here in Florida.
It is. What was it, a chilly morning at like 75 degrees or something?
It was pretty balmy today. It's 69 right now, but, you know, my watch was beeping at me yesterday. It's going to be 9 degrees warmer today than it was yesterday. Bring in the heat.
Oh, time to start working out by the pool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know what else brings the heat?
I don't.
You don't. I threw you off with that one, huh?
Yeah,
I was going to try and segue you in. There's this new thing out there. It's called To-Do.
To-Do? What do I have to do?
Apparently, you have to turn it on in just the right way. It involves the sacrifice of 3 kittens, 2 chickens, and 1 goat.
So is this like another place for me to manage tasks?
Absolutely. I mean, you were looking for one of those, right?
I was. I mean, I have Planner and I have Outlook tasks and I have SharePoint tasks. I don't have enough. I need one more to try to manage my tasks. Oh, and Wunderlist too. I mean, why not just throw another one in the mix?
You really don't have Wunderlist because this is going to be the replacement for Wunderlist, and Wunderlist is going away. So pour one out, get your sad tears out of the way.
Oh, all right. I'll see if I can survive. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. Well, I tried to play around with it. It's the whole To-Do hosted in Office 365, but when you try to sign into it, and even after I enabled it and tried to sign in, it just kept giving me errors that it wasn't ready yet for Office 365, even though it's hosted on Office 365. It made a lot of sense.
Yeah, interesting service, right? It's targeted towards everyone. So consumers and professional users, or I guess licensed consumers of Office 365 services. And then all of a sudden, it only works with consumer accounts at first, and then maybe we'll light up the organizational accounts. And when we light those organizational accounts up, like you said, they're going to be a little bit broken and a little bit weird. And then we're going to pull the whole thing outside of normal Office 365 support channels. So no support.office.com. Let's put everything into Help Shift. And it's all a little strange.
Yeah, it is. So this morning, I actually was able to finally get in. I turned it on in my 10-in a couple days ago and wasn't able to get in, and tried this morning, and it actually did let me in this morning with my work account. So they're making progress.
2 weeks later.
Yeah, I added a task and I can't assign it to anybody. So at least for now, it's just my own tasks. Nobody else can see them. Nobody else can assign them to me. I can't assign them to anybody else. It's just my own personal secret task management list. Task list?
Well, that's coming later, right? There's varying flavors of things going on here. So you have To-Do, personal task management, arguably very personal because you can't share things and push things around. You have things like Planner, which are a little bit more, what do they fall into? Microsoft classifies those as work management applications. So I have a body of work that needs to be managed, and work, you know, that gets managed across multiple people, not like a task, which is just one person. And then I have things like Project Server, Project Online, which would be more holistic project management solutions. So those go beyond task management, work management, and just do other project management-y stuff. To-Do is going to be a little bit of a weird one. So it should be like Wunderlist at the end of the day, but not really, because it's not Wunderlist. They have announced they're going to sunset Wunderlist and kind of put it out to pasture and not have any more updates or things like that as they fully invest in To-Do. We see how well that's worked for other teams. If you think about the awesome service Sunrise, when they brought that into the Outlook group and they said, hey, let's build Sunrise features into Outlook for iOS and Android. And it's totally not the same and not as good. So To-Do will be very well might end up in the same boat.
Yeah, I'm definitely curious to see where it goes. It looks like right now about the only integration it has is it's supposed to sync with your Outlook tasks. Again, I set it up with my work account. I have yet to see any tasks from either place show up in the other app. I did see some other people saying, you know what, it's supposed to sync with Outlook, but it doesn't work really well.
It's going to be rough.
Yeah, I'm hoping they can finally figure this out. My wish, dream is that someday I will have one app that can actually pull in tasks from everything, pull in tasks that I flag in OneNote, tasks from Outlook, tasks from Planner, from Project Server. So I can actually have one place to manage, prioritize all my tasks. I mean, to me, it only makes sense.
Yeah, that's not going to be this app.
Yeah, so maybe we'll get yet another one, or I'll just be dreaming.
I think you're going to be dreaming. There's a lot of disjointed things going on there. And it's best that you reset your expectations now.
My expectations are high. Apparently, I haven't been doing this long enough.
Yeah, that was the sound of the coffee coming through my nose. It's okay. It only burns a little bit.
All right. So now that we've had our task management soapbox ranting, I mean, news, what about some other Office 365 news? Do you want to just go through some of the news? There's been a lot of it recently. The last few episodes, we've talked about specific features. So this episode, we thought, hey, let's go over some of the recent news, update you guys on what's going on in Office 365 land.
Yeah, I think there's some great stuff that's coming out. For anybody who manages an Office 365 tenant, or you know, even if you're outside these services and you just want to keep up to date, you can read the Office blogs and things like that. Another great resource is also the roadmap. So just roadmap.office.com. You can find out about features that have been recently released, what's in development, what's in flight, even things that have been canceled. So today we're going to go through a little bit of that roadmap. So things that are either in flight, maybe they're in kind of first release or beta mode, or they might even be available today. And then we'll talk about some more forward-thinking stuff, a little more forward-thinking than to do, because it'll be a little bit more baked and kind of ready to go. So I think one of the really cool things that's been announced, and it kind of just came out of nowhere, was being able to filter data when doing PST imports into Exchange Online. So Exchange, or really Office 365, has an import-export service where you can go into the Security and Compliance Center, protection.office.com, and say you had a mailbox for a user and they had a bunch of PSTs on premises. Well, you know, you could drag and drop those in Outlook, but you got to wait for Outlook to sync it back. So better option is let's ship the data to Microsoft and let them do something with it. So we can either ship that data via the network or we can do it via hard drives and things like that as well. But it was kind of an all or nothing proposition. So if I had a PST and that PST was 30 gigs, okay, my only choice was to import all of that data into a primary mailbox or into an archive and then have to sift through it and delete it back out and, you know, all just a little bit weird. So they've added the ability to go ahead and filter that data when it comes in. So now I can import a PST and I can say, I only want to import items from this PST that are less than 5 years old. So maybe I have a retention target or something like that where I wasn't able to have compliance in the PST, but now because it's coming into a proper Exchange mailbox, I can have some compliance. So let's just have that go in straight from the start. I can even target specific message types. So maybe I want to import messages in calendar items, but not tasks or, you know, something like that. And one of the really, really cool, really powerful things is you can exclude messages as well that were sent or received by specific people. So if you have somebody that's left the company or you just don't need that data anymore, you don't want it for some kind of compliance, legal thing, whatever, now you have the ability to exclude that stuff out and just keep it all out of the way.
Nice. That'll be very nice, doing some of those large mailbox migrations, some of those users that have kept everything for the last 30 years they've been at a company, because we never have any of those users. That'll be a really nice feature, doing those migrations.
Yeah, we do a lot of these where I'm at today, because our users used to have really small on-prem mailboxes, and they've squirreled PSTs all over the place. So this is a great service for us because it'll start to allow us to, again, maintain compliance and kind of follow our published retention standards and things like that.
Yeah.
As we bring data over to Office 365. So I'll be able to cut down on my inbound bandwidth and the amount of time that it takes to import these items just because it doesn't need to be there, right? And that's all a great thing.
Definitely. So the next one on our list is around Yammer, Office 365 groups. This is one we touched on a little bit in one of our previous episodes, but that new announcement that starting in May, so in a few weeks from the time we're recording this, it should be live by the time you guys are listening to this, creating a group in Yammer will now create an Office 365 group that is associated with that Yammer group. So there's a few requirements around this. One is that it's only a one-to-one configuration, so you can only have one Yammer network associated with your Office 365 tenant. So if you have multiple Yammer networks, you can't associate all of them to Office 365. And then you also have to go into the settings in Yammer and actually enforce the Office 365 identity for all of your Yammer users. There's a link, we'll throw links in the show notes about how to do this. But once you meet those two conditions, anytime you go into Yammer and create a new group, it'll automatically spin up that Office 365 group that we talked about in the previous episode in your Office 365 environment, and then place links to all of those different resources, the SharePoint document library in the Office 365 group, the SharePoint site, OneNote and Planner. It'll put links to all of those right in that Yammer channel for you. So if you're using Yammer, kind of a nice feature that you can kind of see them trying to get Yammer integrated into Office 365 yet. I'm still not a huge fan of this, primarily due to some of the things we talked about in the groups episode where even though it's linked, it's not really linked because you still have two separate files for repositories, for conversations, for notes, etc.
Yeah, this is starting that slow roll of bringing these services in. So it's going to be disjointed at first. There's not too much of an option there. Well, really there is. You could say for new Yammer groups, they just don't use Yammer notes and they don't use Yammer files. And I'd be okay with that. That would actually be awesome, right? It'd be less that they'd have to clean up later. But that's just not the way it's coming up. You mentioned something that's kind of important, that enforcing Yammer identity. So Yammer dir sync was deprecated last year. And everybody should be pretty close to this model now where they can enforce Office 365 identity for their Yammer tenancies. If they're not, for some reason, there's a way that you can go in, dump all your users from Yammer, do a comparison really quick against your Office 365 identities, your org IDs that are in Azure Active Directory, and get that stuff synced up. So it's not just a requirement for using Office 365 groups in Yammer. It's got some other things going on where it's definitely a good idea to turn on if you haven't done it yet, because you're going to be forced into it pretty soon, if I was going to bet.
Yep, I agree.
Cool. So Yammer stuff, it's coming. You know what I like even more than Yammer?
What do you like more than Yammer?
File viewers in OneDrive for Business.
Oh, my favorite.
Right? You know, OneDrive is broken enough most of the time, but hey, let's put some new file viewers in there because that's just going to make everything all better.
Exactly. That fixes sync issues. It fixes all those other issues by spending our time being able to preview more files and view more files in OneDrive.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a lot of files there. They've really increased the number of files. So they've got a whole big list of things they're doing these days. One of the interesting things was they started to incorporate 3D files into their file viewers. So that goes a little bit above and beyond the Visios and things like that. But if you're in, say you're doing healthcare and you've got things like CAT scans, so now you can do those native file formats for like DICOM images and things like that right in a web browser. So if you think about being in an organization that maybe uses those file types, now you can just send links straight to them and people can access those from just about any device. They don't need to wait until they're back at their desk, right? Because you're going to have a native viewer built right into the service and sitting there for you. So it really extends that anytime, anywhere, any device story.
So does that mean if I have a HoloLens with a 3D file in OneDrive for Business and I preview it, it shows up on my coffee table?
You know, if you send me a HoloLens, I'll do the testing for you and get back to you.
All right, I'll get right on that.
That'd be great.
So another one that has been recently announced is some additional functionality features around protecting that sensitive information in Office 365. In the past, we've had some of the data loss prevention. You have information rights management, not really protecting that sensitive information, but still helps to control that information. now they've added these sensitive information types that you can use in your DLP policies. So these are types that are built right into Office 365. It helps you identify things like credit card numbers, bank accounts, passports, driver's license numbers, that various information that you may want to store in Office 365 for your internal users to be able to access, but it needs to be flagged so that you can protect it from accidentally being shared externally, emailed, all of that. They've just increased this functionality more. So if you go into the Office 365, I think it's called the Trust Compliance and Security Center now.
Security and Compliance, protection.office.com.
They keep changing the names of it on me.
They do, but the URL, always the same, protection.office.com. You gotta have protection, man.
Yeah, it used to be that Protection Center. Protection's important. So in here now, you can go in and start defining those sensitive information types, and it spans your Office 365 environment, flags the content as a sensitive information type, and you can use it in retention policies and DLP policies. Again, one thing I'm impressed with is, at least from the outside, Office 365 Microsoft really does seem to be very concerned, conscious of securing your environment, making sure that if your environment's going to be up in their cloud, they give you lots of ways to secure it. They help make sure it's really secure. I can't say the same about some of the other vendors. I don't get all the warm fuzzies around security with them.
Yeah. Well, one of the interesting things is this feature is really about custom sensitive information types. So there's been a bunch of built-in ones. So if you think about wanting to search for if you're in the United States, a social security number or a credit card number, even down to maybe like passport numbers, things like that. There's built-in data types for all that. And then as you go around the world, there's data types for everything. Like you can make the distinction between a national ID in Finland or a passport number for someone who lives in Finland versus that passport number of someone who lives in the United States, or United States bank account number, like routing an account number versus an Australian bank account number. All those things are built in. But maybe you want to go a little bit further. Maybe you have coding that you use internally or things like that. So now you can go ahead, as long as you can get through the contents of this XML file, which are a little bit crazy if you look at them, like even the sample rule one. You know, wrap your head around that and get a well-formed XML file uploaded to Office 365. Then, you start to leverage some of that stuff on top of other built-in sensitive information types that you've got going on. This stuff's hugely powerful. If you can form the rule the right way and get it to work like Microsoft's rules, they're not just straight like regexes or pattern matches. How do they describe them? They're like heuristic based, right? So it can make the distinction. It knows like maybe like when you say like last four and you have four digits, that's the last four of a social security number, even though you didn't have, you know, the other five digits there ready to go. So you can start to form out rules like that as well, which is just super out there and super crazy if you think about it.
Yeah, definitely. So what do we have next on our list?
I think one of the biggest ones and most important ones we haven't talked about yet, Edit Post has finally come to Yammer.
Whoa.
They beat Twitter to it, right?
Revolutionary. I can edit something I post.
It's absolutely crazy. We thought the day would never come. The Yammer product group and people on that team have been on other forums for a couple of years talking about what a hard problem Edit Post is to solve based on both user behavior and user design, and then the way they architected the system on the back end. There was never versioning for posts built in, so now we've got to build that feature before we can let people edit and then maintain versioning, things like that, and get the history and everything that needs to come with it. But this is out. It's available today. It's available for not only posts. You can also edit comments along the way. After a post has been edited, it just gets a nice little flag that shows up with edited. If you click on that, it brings up a little bit of a overlay modal dialog, which then shows the post history. So you can see what happened along the way over the course of that post.
You know, I've always wanted to do this. I haven't done it yet. But it kind of goes along with the whole editing post, as because you can edit posts in Facebook, put up some post, get a whole bunch of people to like it, and then go change the post on them.
You know, that means you'd have to be in Yammer enough to remember that the post was there, and nobody should be in there that much.
Good point. So another one that's near and dear to my heart is, I'm a Mac user. I use Outlook on the Mac, Word on the Mac. They finally started rolling out groups in Outlook for the Mac. So Outlook for the Mac now supports those Office 365 groups we talked about earlier. It definitely is not still on par with Outlook on Windows. There's some of the functionality missing, like being able to create a group. But at least now, if I create those Office 365 groups, they have that mailbox with the emails in them. They start showing up in Outlook. So underneath my account, by all the folders, I now have a group setting that shows all of those Office 365 groups. I can click on one. I can view the messages in it. They're getting there. They're starting to get some of these features that have been in Outlook on Windows into the Mac. I've been impressed with what they've done. They also started rolling this out on iOS and Android recently. So there's also support now in your iOS, Android Outlook client to view the groups as well. So trying to get that feature parity, get it one for one with both Windows, macOS, iOS, Android, they're making improvements. Groups is there now. You can view a list of groups, reply to group conversations, add events to the calendar, view unread messages, view some of the group details. I'm impressed.
Yeah, there's still, so on the Outlook on the Mac side, there's no buttons to view the group conversations or things, or not the conversations, but files and notebook and things like that. It's not the same ribbon that's built into Outlook on Windows. So hopefully they can get those buttons added over time. Maybe they can even beat the Windows group to getting a planner button in there. That'd be really nice.
That would be nice.
make some people happy, and I could stop deploying some third-party add-ins that just add a button to something that should already be there. But that's neither here nor there. Have you started seeing this pop up in any of your iOS or Android apps yet? You know, they didn't have any screenshots of it in the blog post, so I've been waiting to see how it manifests itself and shows up over there. It hasn't hit any of my mailboxes yet.
I don't believe it's hit mine. I should go check a minute. But no, I haven't seen it pop up, and I actually had it in Outlook on the Mac for a while. I'm on first release because I like to live on the edge. So I've seen groups now, I don't know, maybe for about a month or so. I've been playing with it. Now it's coming to everybody. But yeah, I haven't seen it manifest itself yet in any of my clients on mobile devices either.
Yeah, I get the sense if they build it out the same way without the links to... even just the links to the calendar and the files that, or hopefully they hot link it into the Outlook's group app or something like that, just to make it a little bit easier to get around and do some of that stuff and hopefully make it a little bit easier to increase some of the adoption around that.
Yep, absolutely. We'll see. Oh, I take that back. I do have groups in my Outlook client on my iPhone now.
Oh, good.
It has shown up.
Go write a blog post about it. I want to see the screenshots.
I should do that. I can take a screenshot. We can throw a screenshot in the show notes if people want to see it. It's not anything too impressive.
Well, you know, baby steps. They're getting there. Let's see. We got a couple other things in here, but we're getting close to time. So is there one of these you want to talk about in particular?
Oh, let me look through here a minute. What other news articles do we have?
See, there's Pro Plus updates, Power BI navigation, and... the OneDrive sharing experience.
So the OneDrive sharing experience is interesting. They're making some changes to it. They're improving the UI in terms of what you see as you share files with external users. I know they're hoping this UI improvement helps. Personally, I haven't had too many complaints about the UI. Most of my complaints have been more about the functionality and how it works and how difficult it is to share with external users and how they access it. Even some of the functionality, like it's going to sound silly, but one of my biggest issues with sharing with OneDrive for Business is if I want to share, say, a document anonymously, I can go create a link for that document. I can send it off to somebody. It's an anonymous link so they can view it. Well, because Microsoft has all those document viewers built in, it opens it up in Word Online, which is great. They can see the document right away. They can start reading it. However, that's all they can do. They can see it in their browser. They can't download it. Now, I get that once they download it, they could edit it. But honestly, a lot of the time, I don't care if they download it and edit it, as long as I still have that original version in my OneDrive for Business. Usually I want to share it with them because it's a client. I want to just shoot off a quick link. So, hey, here's a how-to document. Here is a help document, something I've written for them that I just want them to be able to go, view, download. I don't want them to be editing it in my OneDrive. If they want to edit it after I send it to them, have at it. But there's no way for them to actually download it. That link has to stay there for them to be able to view it in the future, or they have to go copy and paste all the text out of it. The UI, it's cool. It's a refresh on the UI. I'd like to see some of the sharing functionality itself fixed first.
You're just asking for a lot. See, I want it to go the other way. So, you know, we have a lot of our users that share internally with other users. We do a lot of external folks, customers, things like that. But first and foremost, I want my user experience internally to be the best one. So in this new model, when you click on share, by default, it's going to just generate a link. And then people are going to send a link to something, because Microsoft views that as kind of the telemetry and what happens. But in my organization, people send those links and then they come back and they open up help desk tickets later because, you know, hey, so-and-so sent me a link and it doesn't show up and shared with me. Well, that's because they never actually shared the file with you. They shared it with everyone and just generated a link. You know, so helping to kind of manage functionality and expectations of being able to share and push things around, you know, all well and good. And then I think we got to work on some of your knowledge management stuff. It seems like you have a thing about somebody editing your documents, and, you know, it's fine that they edit them. It's all versioned and it's all in there. We got to get you on this single source of truth path. I'll work on that one and see if I can't win you over.
Yeah, you can try, but honestly, some of my clients might be listening to this. I don't always trust my clients to edit my help document I gave them. There's a reason I created the document, or they needed help with something.
And this is why we trust, but verify.
Just sounds like more work.
Well, yeah, but you know, you're billing them. It's okay.
Okay, good point.
All right. So I think that about wraps us up for today. That's a bunch of news. So hopefully we can do these along the way, you know, as things are coming up, maybe every 3 or 4 episodes, just kind of do a quick catch up. And here's all the new things that are coming and new things that have been released, especially with the cadence that Microsoft is pushing this stuff out these days.
Yes, absolutely. We'll always have news to talk about.
All right, great. Well, thanks, Ben.
All right, not a problem. Thank you, Scott. Go enjoy the rest of your day and have fun with Office 365.
Bye.
Bye-bye. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.